All right, that was fun. Family Sunday is a really special time at Trinity. We do it every time there is a fifth Sunday of the month is when we do this here. So I love these pictures. I see a lot of you. Does anybody recognize themselves in those pictures? All right, let's do this. Who in this room is 12 years old or under? Raise your hand high. There you go. Who in this room is 12 years old to 21? There you go. Who's 21 to 40? No lying, Al. Okay. Who's four? No, we'll stop there. Let me ask you a serious question. What is the one consistently missing thing from a dying church? What is the one consistently missing thing from a dying church? You got it. It's not the Bible. There's a lot of Bible-teaching churches whose doors are locked. It's not bad theology. It's not even lack of money. It's lack of young people who eventually make up the church. And if they ain't there, soon the church won't be there either. You know the name Moody, D.L. Moody? 19th century evangelist, pastor, writer. He planted Moody Church in Chicago. He started the Moody Bible Institute. At the end of his life, he said something profound that I resonate with. He said, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. Yes. And there's all kinds of reasons for that, not the least of which is the future. The children, the teenagers are the future. Okay, how many of you know who Winnie the Pooh is? All right, that's a pretty good. And so you also know his friend Christopher Robin. Well, one of the last things Christopher Robin ever said to Pooh was to prepare him for the future, to prepare him for the time when Pooh would grow up. So in a sense, he wrote it for all of us to remember when we grow up. Here's what Christopher Robin said to Winnie the Pooh. If ever there is tomorrow when we're not together, there is something you must always remember. Pooh, you are braver than you believe. You are stronger than you seem, and you are smarter than you think. But the most important thing is, even if we're apart, I will always be with you. Now, Christopher Robin was a smart young lad because he realized that there would be a time when they are apart. And he realized that the future is vital for Pooh and for any young person and for all of us. Okay, this morning we're beginning a series of messages that are about tomorrow and they're about the day after tomorrow. And in many ways, they are the most important messages Trinity could hear right now. If you're a guest, by the way, or if you're brand new to Trinity, welcome. Don't feel any pressure. You're going to hear words like stewardship. You're going to hear words like capital campaign and about faith pledge. But what I want us all to hear is the passionate excitement we have for our children and for our grandchildren. And the desire that we want God to use us and our resources to make sure that this Trinity never becomes one of those dying churches that has no young people, but that we are faithfully reaching and equipping the next generation time and time again. We're going to call this three-week series, here it is, Secure the Future, because we're going to be talking and planning tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. And we're going to be taking an honest look at our world and ourselves. A world where children and teenagers and young families are consistently experiencing and feeling dysfunction, the dysfunction of their home, the dysfunction of their society, and we work and pray that they might find Trinity. And at Trinity, they might find a place where they can express their fears, their hopes, their questions, their insecurities. But ultimately, our hope is that they find Trinity and here that they find Jesus Christ. I'm not 40 anymore. That's a surprise to some of you. As I have grown older, that wasn't that funny, by the way. My gnawing burden is to establish a church that can stand the test of time, to establish a church that welcomes and equips new families, young families, and their wee little children and their teenagers, to establish a church that loves and serves teenagers that are as spiritually needy as I was when I was a teenager. That's my desire. So we will hear three messages this week, the following week, and the week after that. And those messages will provide a spiritual context through which we can reflect, through which we can understand God's calling, and through which we can even grow spiritually as well. Yes, we will talk about physical spaces that we need to build. You'll even hear how our present spaces for children and for teenagers are dated and woefully lacking. But in some ways, it's not about the physical spaces that we will talk about. The physical spaces that we're going to talk about for 3 weeks are simply a means to an end. They are vehicles to help us envision the spiritual space that we long for Christ to create in our children's lives. The physical spaces simply become a vehicle whereby we can do ministry, and building those spaces will allow us to use our resources to have our faith stretched to see what God can do through us for the next generation and the generation after that to secure our future. So, we've been in a study in the book of Acts for some time now, and we're going to push the pause button on that study. Last week, when we were in Acts chapter 13, we looked at the first recorded sermon by the Apostle Paul. And in that sermon, he basically traced salvation history, going through the history of Israel, all the way going to Jesus and his dying on the cross for our sins and his resurrecting from the dead to give us all hope. In the middle of that sermon, almost like a footnote, he mentions Christ's ancestor, David. And this is what he said about David. For David, after serving God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep. Kids, whenever you see fall asleep in the Bible, it often, you know what it is? It's a big word. It's a euphemism, meaning it's a nice way of something saying something that sometimes is not so nice. When you read about people falling asleep in the Bible, you know what it means? They died. That's what it means. David did the Lord's purposes, and then he died. Now, fall asleep actually is a nice euphemism in the sense that it reminds us that when we die, it's not like we don't exist anymore. Our bodies die, but our spirits, if we are in Jesus, our spirits go to the Lord. So if you had a grandfather, let's say, that just died not long ago, and he loved Jesus, okay, he fell asleep, meaning his body looks like it's sleeping, but he's in the presence of Jesus. So anyway, this is what Paul said about David. And I love this sort of sweet little epitaph, this kind obituary. In his lifetime, David did what the Lord called him to do. He did the Lord's purposes. And then when he was done, he was done. But he finished his job. It's not like, no, wait, I can't die. I've got more to do. No. You did it all. David served God's purposes. And for David, God's purposes were to worship him, and he did it with his musical ability and his writing of songs. But he also did it by blessing people and bringing value to the people. And he did it by leading them as king and by communicating God's word to them. And then in so doing that, he left a legacy. So even though he fell asleep, the reverberation of his legacy was felt for generation after generation after generation. So we still feel it today when we read the Psalms. Well, I thought that that little epitaph would be an appropriate saying, epitaph, obituary for us today. You know what an epitaph is, right? It's a little phrase that sometimes is on a tombstone when somebody passes away. For example, you know that person, maybe they miss school all the time and they're always sick and half the time they're faking it. We call those hypochondriacs. Well, their epitaph is going to be, see, I told you I was sick. Well, imagine if that is our epitaph, meaning God has given every one of us a purpose. And we are to serve that purpose while we live. And when we are done serving that purpose, he calls us home. Well done. You're finished. Come on home. And here's the beauty of it. It continues long after we're gone. And so whether it's reading David's Psalms or hearing the stories of life and faith of your grandparents, it continues long after it's gone. You know, recently in the evangelical world, two giants have passed away. George Verwer and Charles Stanley. Both of them served God's purposes in their own generation, faithfully. And both of them have a legacy that is reverberating on and on and on. Stanley, for example, I'm sure there are thousands of people from his church and from his ministry that could tell you the impact that he had on them. I think of one person. His son, Andy Stanley, I went to seminary with Andy Stanley. His impact that came, began with his father, just continues on. I don't know if you've ever heard of George Verwer. He founded an organization called Operation Mobilization, a fabulous ministry that its entire vision was to set young people on fire for Christ and then mobilize them all over the world to share the love of Christ everywhere they can go. And I can tell you, there are tens of thousands of people today who took Verwer's vision and today, in some shape or form, are serving Christ somewhere in the nooks and crannies of this world. Serving God's purposes in our generation, which is the only generation you can serve God's purpose, you do it now. Can't do it yesterday. But as you serve it now in our generation, watch how even as you fall asleep, the legacy of our faithfulness continues to be wide awake for generation after generation. And so here we are, a room full of families, a room full of children and teenagers. And it makes me think of our privilege and our responsibility to serve God's purposes today in our generation and to see the impact that we can have on kids and teens and young families who will carry on long after we're asleep. You know, for generations, God has called His covenant people to teach their children, to teach their grandchildren. And it began with the nation of Israel when they first got the Ten Commandments, and through Moses, here's what the Lord said to them. These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and your children may fear the Lord as long as you live, by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. So impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Our calling in serving the purposes of God in our generation, first is to teach our children. Or to quote those great theologians, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, to teach our children well. Teach our children. But secondly, our responsibility is to create an open door, to create a welcome space to the many in our community, in our neighborhoods, with their children who are longing for a reference point in the storm at sea called life. And they're just looking for some direction. They're just looking for a compass. Our calling is to provide that compass. And our calling is to become a place, a warm place where those families, those young parents, those children, those teenagers can find sane answers to crazy questions, true truth in a relativistic world that's gone mad, and ultimately that they can find hope, spiritual hope, in a world that's very, very short on that. That's our job, to provide that, to instill that into the next generation. For a few months now, as a staff, we've been praying and thinking about the next step of building into the next generation, to securing the legacy. As an elder team and as trustees, we've been thinking as well. Here's a statement that we came up with that pretty much summarizes everything that the next 3 months, yea, may I say the next 3 years, yea, may I say the next 50 years, is meant to describe. What are we trying to do? We want to create a dedicated space to grow and disciple the next generation, which serves as a welcome to our neighbors and a home for our kids. That's what we're here to do, to create a dedicated space. The word dedicated is really important. Right now, if you came here on a Sunday morning or on a Sunday night, you would see spaces that are being used in 7 different ways. They're being used for young mothers, and they're being used for seniors, and they're being used for teenagers, and they're being used for little kids. That's the fellowship hall, among other things. We want to create a dedicated space that when a junior hire comes in and says, they thought about me, that's for me and my peers. A dedicated space for children or young families, just as like when you walk into the gathering space now and you think, this is a cool place. They want me to be here. Right now, the young families come in the back door and they're not sure that we want them to be there. To create a space that they can walk in and say, whoa, they want us here. And their children can say, we love it here. To create a dedicated space, not just to entertain, to grow and disciple the next generation. Again, the dying church has forgotten about the next generation. There are a good number of churches out there that have a whole lot of money in the bank account because their elderly keep on giving, but there's nobody there because they've never reached the next generation. Grow and disciple the next generation, which serves as a welcome to our neighbors. We don't want to be a fortress that the community wonders, what are they doing in there? We want to welcome our neighborhoods, our community, to say, you know the craziness in the world that you're living? Let's put some definition to that. Let's give some hope in the middle of that. Welcome to our neighbors and a home for our kids. You're going to hear that again and again and again. So what are we talking about? Here's what we're talking about. 6,633 square feet. You walked in probably that door on the far left. See that? The far right is what we're building, 6,600 plus square feet to basically build a welcoming center, which is that thing on the right. And then on the far right is an all-purpose room and four classrooms. That is what we will be building. You know, on Friday morning, I work out at the Mandel Jewish Center in Beechwood. And I see it every time, but Friday it struck me. Above the gym, there's an indoor track. And so I'm jogging around the track. And as I'm jogging, I'm looking down. And as I look down, first thing I notice is a quarter of the gym has been quartered off with all kinds of toys and things for children, and they're playing on it. Love it. And when you look at those children, and I know those families, by the way, many of them are not Jewish. But they've opened up their doors, in a sense, to share the Jewish heritage with these people. And they drew it through playing, through letting the kids come and letting their parents have a family day while the kids play. As I continue to jog on the other side of that quarter were a bunch of adults playing pickleball. They do that because the Jews now have bought into the cult of pickleball. But that too is an open door to the community to say, let us teach you a little bit about Judaism. Let us teach you who we are. That's those rooms. On Sunday, they will be utilized to the hilt. The goal is to use them throughout the week so that families can come and have a place for their children. And have a place, even for adults, there will be a chance to play pickleball and even some basketball. But the primary purpose is a dedicated space for those kids. See it. You'll see it again and again. So here's the question that's on everybody's mind. So what'll it take? What are we talking about, numbers-wise? And every capital campaign that I have led as a pastor, and I've led five or six, the first thought as you see it is, that's awesome. And then the second thought as you see the numbers is, oh my, whoa, how are we going to get that? Remember I said part of the goal of this is that it's going to be a spiritual journey. That's part of the spiritual journey. Because this is how you see the power of God show up. God's power and his power in growing our faith, in growing our trust, and even in growing our generosity is how this gets pulled off. By God's grace and by the generosity of all of us, this is how it happens. So here's what we're looking at. We're looking at a project of $1.9 million. The building itself with all the square footage is about $1.5 million. Then all the furnishings, the technology and the landscaping and all that, well, you see the numbers. I want to show you this. Just that slide alone is $680,000. No, I'm kidding. And then it goes all the way to 1.9. Can we do that? Yes. By the grace of God, by the power of God, by the faithfulness of his people, We can do that. And we will explain a lot more in the weeks to come. This is going to be 3 weeks. As you leave, by the way, you will get one of these, which is a booklet that we've created here that explains everything. Take it home. Actually, put it in a folder or in your Bible or whatever. Bring it back every week if you can. But walk through this. On the back of it is a pledge card. Because part of what we will be doing is over the next several weeks, we will be talking it over as families. And we will be together as a family discussing, why do we want to do this? That's what I'm doing this morning. Why is this so important? And then you ask, how is God calling us to fulfill his purposes in our generation? And then as a family, again, this takes time. You have to process it. You have to pray through it. And then by May 21st, we'll have all of those pledge cards back, and we will then proceed forward with the generosity of God's people and the greatness of our God. So as you leave, make sure you grab one. Also, as you leave, you'll see that there are 3 easels in the gathering space, and we will have leaders at any of all of those easels for you to look at. You can ask questions and all of that. But again, this just begins it. Now, can that number be reduced? In a sense, it can. Because of your generous giving and because of smart budgeting by our trustees, we will be able to give at least $250,000, if not more, in a sense that we have stored away for a rainy day, among other things, to reduce that number. At least $250,000. And as many of you know, we do own some property over on Hendricks Road, and we've been praying for years to sell that. If we sell it at the right cost, be praying about that, then all of those proceeds go to that to reduce that number as well. Okay, I remind us. For David, after serving God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep. He was buried. His body decayed. But his great, 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 great grandson, Jesus Christ, died and was buried, and on the 3rd day rose again. And it is through the power of Christ and his resurrection and the purpose of Christ to reproduce his grace and his kingdom in our world today that we proceed and say, let's go. We can fulfill this. And God will honor our obedience and his work as we choose to be faithful in our generation and then watch, even as we sleep, as the repercussions of that continue on and on and on. Next week, by the way, we will continue looking at David, and we're going to look at how David prepared the next generations, even as he talked with Solomon and others to prepare the next generation. And then you'll also hear a few other voices who will specifically speak to the project and to how it will be used ministry-wise. So together, as we faithfully say, we're going to look at this challenge and move forward by saying yes. Together, as we tell the Lord, yes, I'm in, because I love you and I love Trinity Church. Yes, I'm in, because I want to have a stake in securing the future. Yes, I'm in, because I don't want our church to be one of those dying churches that has no young people. Yes, I'm in. And as we say, yes, I'm in, God shows up. And he shows up in ways you can never imagine of how he can provide through all of us to accomplish his purpose in this generation for the next generation. And so as we choose to say yes and move forward, as we choose to say yes, we will create a dedicated space to grow and disciple the next generation, which serves as a welcome to our neighbors and a home for our kids. We say yes. So for between this week and next and the coming weeks, what can we be doing? Here's 4 things. Begin praying. There's been a lot of prayer that has gone through all of this. I told a group Friday night, what you can't see here, you can see plans, you can see drawings, you can see all kinds of things. What you cannot see in this little booklet is faith, because faith is unseen. As we begin to pray, allow the Lord, in a sense, to lead Trinity through this entire project. And the way He leads is part of our faith. Secondly, read through this. Between now and next Sunday, read through it. A lot of people have put a lot of work into putting this together. There's a lot of information. You can't do it quickly. Please read through this. I hope you're understanding the vision and the why. There's a lot of why in here, but there's a lot of how it will get done as well. Thirdly, over the next 3 weeks, talk to your kids. Talk to your grandchildren about what this will mean for them and for their ownership of Trinity, and I would say, and of their ownership of their faith. I would say, but I won't, because it would be too confusing. If you came on a Sunday between services downstairs, you would see the subway of craziness of all of the people that are there. It just doesn't work. If you would come here on a Sunday night to see the youth, you would be seeing our teenagers basically transforming a quasi-adult, quasi-kids room into a very quasi-teen room. It doesn't work. I won't tell you to do that. I'm just telling you, the facilities at this present moment are woefully weak. And in order to bring them up to snuff and to truly build into the next generation, we need to, with vision, move forward. And then fourthly, over the next 3 weeks, ask the Lord to guide you in the financial commitment that you are led to make. That's the calling for all of us. Will it take sacrifice? You bet. What we will be asking everyone to do as they think through it, we will do a pledge card by the end of this campaign. It'll be for 3 years, and the gifts that we give are intended to be gifts that are over and above what we normally give as a congregation. And so for some of us, that may mean one less latte every day from Starbucks. For others, it may mean I can't go on that cruise next year. I don't know, but I do know that as we meet with the Lord, and we say, how do you want me to sacrificially be a part of this vision? How do you want me to faithfully serve you in my generation for the next? You'll need to decide. Every one of us as families and as singles will need to decide. I'm done. But together, we are here to secure the future. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the calling with which you've called us to not only give us a special relationship with you through Christ, but to never to keep it to ourselves, but to always pass it on to our children and our grandchildren, and even to our neighbors that are not even here. Lord, I do pray for your direction, for your blessing over this campaign for the next 3 weeks. I do pray that you would meet with each of us as we prayerfully consider what it is you're calling us to do. And I pray that you would give us a sense, not just of the why we're doing this, but a clear sense of the vision of what this can accomplish for the purposes that you have, not just for Trinity, but for this whole area, to reach families that are so desperate for life and hope and truth. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.